Great to be with you again today and to continue talking about our series, Truth on Trial. Somebody said to me earlier, "Ooh, you bought Skittles last time. What sweets have you bought this time?" No sweets today, I'm afraid. But such is life. Right back on that first of this series, I talked to you about how essentially Jesus is the truth. And we examined sort of what truth actually is and how from that scripture where Jesus is on trial and Pilate poses the question, what is truth? We've been exploring and answering that ever since down through the centuries. And as believers, as Christians, we conclude Jesus is the truth. Ben on the following week talked about the difference between what is true and the truth. So important to grasp that, because stuff happens and it's true for you in that moment, but God's ways are higher than ours. He does see things differently. And we have to set our true experience in the reality, the truth of God's greater purpose for our lives. And that's the dynamic of living a successful Christian life. On the third week, Chevy, our favorite. She's just awesome, isn't she, Chevy? She talked about the truth about freedom, and if ever a woman knows how to deliver freedom, minister freedom, lead people into freedom, she's it. Got such an appreciation for what God has made Chevy, because it tumbles out of her own journey. And the truth about freedom was the heart of that message, and again, if you didn't listen to it, please get on the podcast, get on the website, have a listen. And then, of course, the last time we were in this series, Dave shared the truth about me. Or him. The Confessions of a Senior Leader. And I hope you've listened to that if you weren't present. I know folks all around the UK who've listened to that message since he preached it. And it's had an impact far wider than just this community. Because honesty, authenticity, vulnerability in senior leadership is a precious, precious thing. We're blessed to be part of this community. And again, I just want to thank Dave for sharing so openly and honestly. Because whilst it's true of him, we all listened and went, actually, it's true of us a little bit as well. And it helped us make progress, grapple with some things, and increasingly become a key people who are characterized by truth and freedom. Have you ever been given something? And you read the packaging, you know, you go online on Amazon or whatever, and you surf it up and you go, ooh, this is awesome. I'll have me one of those. And you click, and it comes the next day, and the box arrives, and you go, woof. And then when you opened it, you went, oh, this is rubbish. This is pants. I remember a little while ago, we ordered something on Amazon, and it came, and it got delivered while I was at work. I come home, and Kay says, ooh, this Amazon box. What have you been ordering? Because it's like humongous. And I'm thinking, what have I been ordering? I don't ever remember anything that big. And you rip it open, and it must have been 90% packaging and 10% contents. So you can sort of, your heart goes, Well, life can be like that. But let me ask you this morning, what if I gave you one of these? A tin of authentic Christianity. Of course, it's a supernatural finish, as you can see. And it's not one of these standard things. No, this has got 777 milliliters. You know, it's the real deal. Some of you will get that more than others, but anyway. Put it this way, it's not 666. If I gave you a tin of authentic Christianity, you went, woo! I'm looking forward to opening this and getting this slapped on my walls. Well, I wonder if it would let you down. I wonder if when you took the lid off it, it would live up to the billing, live up to what you expected. You see, sometimes we approach Christianity, and the truth is, it doesn't seem to always deliver what we think it should say on the tin. When I was doing my theology degree, I was part of a group of students. It was in Coventry at the time. And I remember this heated discussion in a seminar group we had with my tutor. He was a godly man, great education list. It was one of the canons of Coventry Cathedral. And there were about five or six of us in this seminar with him, and we're debating Christianity. And one of the guys, you could tell he had an axe to grind, he finally said, "Guys, I've concluded Christianity just does not work. It just doesn't work. I mean, I've been exploring it with you. Look, it just doesn't work. I mean, for goodness sake, it's ruined the world for 2,000 years. Wars have been fought in its names. You know, lives have been lost. It's ridiculous." And he said, "The more I look at it, it's an irrelevant, outdated philosophy which overpromises and underdelivers, leaving people disappointed." And it was that line that I took away. He believes Christianity overpromises freedom, life change, transformation, and then it underdelivers. And that was his experience of kind of taking the lid off the tin, I suppose, and that exploring what is Christianity. Well, I wonder, in your experience, does Christianity work? Personally, does it work when you see it working in other people's lives? Because I want to say a little bit to you this morning about the truth about Christianity. The truth about Christianity. Now, Christianity is if ever a word had baggage, that word has baggage. Because, you know, atrocities have been committed in the name of Christianity. Wars have been fought. Some very unhelpful seasons in history. Christianity can have its own language, which new people, when they enter a Christian world, can be confused by this Christianese. What do these words mean? In some settings, Christianity can seem very, very heavy, quite legalistic, all about rules and regulations and all that sort of stuff. You get the impression in some wings of Christianity that if you just say certain words, certain things will happen. A bit formulaic. Almost a little bit like magic, a bit mysterious. Then, of course, one of our big problems today is that Christianity is being politicized. So are we a Christian nation? Or a what? And most people in the world would say, well, you're either a Christian nation, or you're a Muslim nation, or you're a secular nation, or you're a... And suddenly the word has been taken to characterize the whole nation of mixture. But what's the truth about Christianity? See, people think they know what Christianity is. They think they know what it believes. They think they know what Christianity's stance on a thing is. And quite often they're wrong. Because they've got that from somewhere, but it's not from the source. See, at the end of the day, if Christianity does not... My thought's in the wrong order here. Put it this way. It doesn't matter what you think about Christianity. It doesn't matter what I think about it. What matters is what the source of Christianity thinks about it. And you're never going to get to the truth about Christianity until you get to the God who is at the center of Christianity, and hear from him and understand from him exactly what this thing we called Christianity is all about. Because Christianity does not work when we make it into something it isn't. And that's what goes on. People make it into something that actually isn't because they've not consulted the source. They've not been right to the heart of it and got to the essence of what it's all about. See, Christianity isn't, if I could put it this way, it's not a derived religion. We don't kind of look at it and go, oh, right, okay, I see. I conclude Christianity equals this because it's my perception. No, Christianity is what we would call a revealed religion. It's a revealed religion. God revealed himself to us. He revealed himself to be a certain way, to have certain passions, certain purposes, and we choose as human beings whether to believe what God says about himself and Christianity or not. But if you choose to believe different to what he reveals it to be, you're choosing to believe a lie, a falsehood about Christianity, about God himself. See, Christianity only works when it flows from the God at its center. Truth is, people are searching, aren't they? They're searching for answers to this spiritual emptiness they feel, the void inside the human heart. And as some of us were hearing just this last week at the launch conference that was hosted here, some terrific content there. There's a massive rise in global spirituality. Massive rise. It's easier than ever in the world to talk about things spiritual. People are searching, particularly the millennial generation and younger. There's a longing, there's a searching, and there's a lot of competition out there to satisfy the search. People want to know how the Christian life really works. I think it's a relentless search. What is authentic Christianity? Is this tin of stuff? Is it the right deal? So they go looking for formulas, for absolutes, for rules to apply. They go looking for God, for as they understand him to be. They go looking for answers. They're looking for what we would say was wisdom. They're looking for God himself. And as a Christian, and even after being a Christian, that search continues. And it takes us slowly, it sort of funnels us in. It channels everybody who's genuinely searching to the same ends. So it takes you to the Bible and you read that. It takes you to maybe a church. It maybe takes you to Christian friends. It maybe takes you to a conference or a book or a counselor. And everything conspires to sort of pull you in until if you will keep searching, you get to the center. You get to the locus, the focal point of Christianity. All roads lead to Jesus. It all leads to Jesus. For all our philosophizing, all our searching, all our complicating of things, and yeah, it must be deep, it must be complex, it must be profound. It's about a person. And it's profoundly simple at one level. And the search has got to take people, what is the truth about Christianity? The clue is on the tin. It's Christianity. You know, in one sense, it should be a tin of Jesus, if that's not irreverent. We've got to get to the one who is at the center. If you have a distorted view of Christianity, only Jesus can correct your distortion. And I meet a lot of people who have a distorted view, like the guy I mentioned when I was doing my studies. They reach conclusions. I believe he concluded what he did because he'd never met Jesus. He'd never met him. He'd never understood him. He'd done some academic research. He looked at history. He looked at how the word Christianity is used in different places and decided, no, it overpromises and underdelivers. Jesus never overpromises and underdelivers. For those of you who get this, every promise in Christ is yes. He is the one who is for me, who's with me, who sustains me. You know, Jesus is the one. The people on the search are looking for wisdom. Well, we believe Jesus is the wisdom. They're looking for the truth. Jesus is the truth. We believe they're looking for peace, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. They're looking for a way to live their life, and Jesus said, and I am the way. He's the strength. He's everything we need to live this life well. The journey towards Christianity and then into Christianity is all about Jesus. It's what Dave said a couple of weeks ago. It is hashtag Jesus first. And Christianity loses its essence, gets complicated, becomes just rhetoric, becomes formulaic, becomes something else the moment we lose Jesus first. Jesus first. Once you settle, it's all about Jesus and living life with Jesus. You will survive whatever life throws at you. It's interesting, early on in the service, Ben, when he had us just engage with the stories and what was doing in people's lives, It's all about where Jesus interfaces with a person's life, isn't it? That's what it comes down to. It's all about him. Authentic Christianity that does what it says on the tin has Jesus at the center. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. This would be my key text for this morning. He says this. It's Paul speaking. He says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a resolution. What a resolve. What a determination. I don't want to know anything else other than Jesus first and everything that's attached and comes my way through his death on the cross. Everything flowed from his knowing of Jesus. Further on in the book of Philippians chapter 3, he says this, verse 7. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything's a loss compared to knowing him. For whose sake I've lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Hear the pain in his voice now. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. Not know about him, not head knowledge, know him relationally. I want to know him. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's a fabulous prayer of, I want to be so at one with Jesus, so identified with Jesus. As I reflect on all this, I've concluded everything about the Christian life that truly works is firstly Jesus-centric. We've got to get that in the bank. But then as I think my way around Christianity, I've concluded essentially, I think there are three things. Now, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think there are three things at the heart of the truth about Christianity. And these three things have got to be ever-present and understood. And if they're twisted or they're missing, it's not the real deal. These are my three things. The first one is this. Christianity that works, the truth about Christianity is, it is deeply personal. Christianity is personal. It is about you and God. It's personal. It's a personal relationship with a God who loves you, who created you, who understands you. You say, well, why is it personal? Because God is a person. I don't know how you conceive God to be, but there's a good chance you've been to Star Wars and it's the Force be with you. You know, and some of us go, oh, it's got rings of spirituality and rings of God in there. Yeah, all religions have. There's a force. There's an absolute essence out there. There's a supreme being. Different religions call their God a different things. We call ours a person. He has a personal name. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my heavenly Father. Personal terms. The Holy Spirit is revealed as being a person. It's personal. And you engage with Christianity by getting personal. You don't engage with Christianity as a creed or a belief system or organized religion. No, you get involved with true Christianity, the real deal, when it becomes personal. Not the wife's opinion, the husband's opinion. Not anybody you know's opinion. You and the God who is deeply personal. You see, true Christianity is about God speaking to you. God guiding you, teaching you. God laughs with you when he cries with you. It's person to person. But if you depersonalize it, it becomes just another dead religion. It's the person that makes it living and interactive and meaningful. You can't get away from it. True Christianity is deeply personal. It's intimate. It's a shared life with Almighty God that's made possible through Jesus Christ. That started as a personal choice. Personal choice. God offers relationship to human beings, but I personally have to choose it. It's authentic when you've chosen it. It's not authentic when it's been foisted on you or put on you or someone's got your arm up your back or someone's told you you're probably a Christian. No, it becomes authentic when you have chosen to have a personal relationship with God. So I think the first truth about Christianity we've got to live in an awareness of is it's personal. Second word is this. True Christianity is relational. Deeply relational. Intrinsically relational. It cannot be lived in isolation. Not successfully, anyway. It's a massive exception for that to happen. Normal Christianity is lived relationally. Yeah, it's a personal relationship with God, as I've said, but it's also a relationship with other believing people. It's what adds to its essence. It starts with a personal choice. I choose Jesus, but then everything that is good and that works about Christianity after that is relational. True Christianity is not organized. It's not organized. It's not formal Christianity. That's nuts. No, organized Christianity fails because it becomes organization without relationship. Formal Christianity fails because it becomes form without family. It's relational, it's Christianity. Becoming a Christian places you in this wonderful relationship matrix. Yeah, it's you and your Heavenly Father. It's you and God, but it's also you and this spiritual family of fellow believers, which the Bible goes on at great length to explore and explain. We call it church, which is another word that's got a lot of baggage. People hear the church word and go, ooh, don't want that. Well, think of it just as other people who believe in the same Jesus as you. And let's do some life together. Let's do some relationship. That's why as a church we're very keen not to over-formalize who we are and what we do. We want it to be community, life on life, sharing together. It's following Jesus together, supported by one another. True Christianity that really works will find you in a range of healthy, life-giving relationships where you're accepted for who you are, where you accept others, and as you do life together, you learn that actually all the resources that God has for you are in those relationships. It's a beautiful thing. You discover that relationship always kind of trumps organizational affiliation. It's not about what you're a member of or what you're a signed up believer in. Now, relationships are what last. The older I get, the more I'm realizing. I've been in different expressions of Christianity down through the years, different formulations of it, different organized versions of it. But what do I live from? My relationships with the people. It's fabulous. Why is it like that? Because at the core of Christianity is a God who is intrinsically relational. In fact, he exists in relationship. The Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a relationship. It's a team. It's a family. Call it what you will. Who sorted that out? No, that's who God has revealed himself to be. Like I said at the start, you either believe or you don't believe how God has revealed himself to be. And he has chosen himself to reveal himself as plural. You read the creation texts. When man was first made, and God's having a conversation with himself, he says, who? Yeah. You know, let's make some people in our image. It's plural language. There's a point in Isaiah where it says, who shall we send and who will go for us? think, oh, God's having a schizophrenic attack here. There's something not right. No, he's plural. He's Father, Son, and Spirit, and the heavenly beings having a conversation, because God just exists and delights in living in a relational world. I believe that is why our enemy, the enemy of God and the enemy of our faith, Christianity, wants to destroy relationships. If he can wreck family, if he can wreck friendship, if he can cause disunity and division, it gets strikes at the heart, the core of healthy Christianity. If relationships were all great, Christianity wouldn't even need to be organized. It would just roll out and it would take the world over. But we organize it. And we put it in boxes and brands and essentially at its heart, the truth about Christianity is it's personal. This is person to person, and it's relational. And learning to live in the beauty of those relationships is what keeps it true to its essence. So we've got to get good at the relational bit. We've got to get good at relating to God, relating to Jesus. So that's why we read the Bible, which is God's word. It's why we spend time in prayer, which is conversing, talking with God. It's why we pull the Holy Spirit into all that we do. And it's why we do life with other Christians. And if you learn, if I withdraw from my relationship with God, step back. If I withdraw from my relationship with God's people, step back. It hurts me. I suffer. I become vulnerable. I end up believing all sorts of nonsense. Other voices are given a better voice, a louder voice than God's and other believers. And we've got to keep it the real deal. The truth about Christianity is it's personal and it's relational. Now, if you look at Jesus himself, I'd encourage you, read the Gospels, read the life of Jesus. He did life in relationships. He had a best mate called John. Then he had three very close disciples, Peter, James, and John, who he did some even more intimate close things with and shared some of his heart more vulnerably with. But then he got the 12 disciples, a slightly wider group, did a lot of life with them. Then we know there were a group of 72 disciples that he worked with on one occasion and sent them out. And then there were the crowds, spheres, just environments, all relational, all serving different purposes. But a rich life is a rich relational life. You've come here this morning, and this might be the biggest crowd potentially many of you will be in all week. Why have you chosen to come and be in this crowd? I would suggest to you, it's because you've got a personal relationship with Jesus and you've understood it's relational. I need to learn how to relate better to Jesus. That means gathering with others who do the same. And here we are. My third thought is this. True Christianity is personal, relational, and transformational. You know when you found the real deal, because it changes your life. And anything that does not change your life is not Christianity. I would say that clearly and that loudly. Christianity is all about transformation. You were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you can see. You lived your old life, and you've put on a new life. I mean, this is massively transformational. It is caterpillar to butterfly stuff. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, and now you are alive in Christ. It's transformational. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Then a few verses on in verse 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace we've been saved. You had no hope, and now you've got hope. You had no purpose. Now life has a purpose that exceeds even beyond your human life. Trapped by old lifestyles, patterns of behavior, addictions, and finding the freedom that Chevy talked to us about. It's transformation. The stories that Ben talked about earlier is people in a journey of transformation. Because the Christian life, from the moment you get your personal relationship with God sorted out, is the beginning of a journey of transformation. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory that comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." There's this thought, every day. Every day you get to look a little bit more like Jesus. Every day you get a little bit to look like a better version of you. Every day you get to have a bit more positive relationships, a bit more wisdom about how to live, a bit more common sense that comes from the Word of God and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's transformational. That's why when people stop growing, you know, sometimes you maybe like me, you've been this person. You'll meet people and they came to Christ and they were transformed and they started their relationship with God and it was personal and relational. And there's evident transformation and life happens or they make some choices and it seems to stop. They seem to freeze. They are never a happy person from that point on. Why? Because they're violating the essence of what being a Christian is. The idea is we have to keep transforming, keep growing, keep changing. And sometimes that means making some difficult human choices, which is what Dave shared 2 weeks ago, that you have to admit, I'm broken. The stuff that needs fixing, I need help. Where do I get the help from? The relational part, by keeping Jesus at the center. And the process of transformation is served by your personal relationship with God and the relationship with other believers that you have. It all works together in one complete whole, which is why I said earlier, if any one of these three things is missing, Christianity becomes something it isn't. But it still says Christian on the tin. You still walk around known to be a Christian, but you've lost something of your personhood. You've lost something of the relationship. You've lost something of the transformational journey. I'm here today to say the truth is, you just got to get yourself back on track if that's you. Yeah. Get back in the flow, because Christianity transforms. Transforms the way you think about yourself and about God, about the world, about other people. Transforms your view of yourself. It transforms the way you manage your money. Transforms the way you'll do your marriage and raise your kids. It transforms the way you do relationships. Everything that flows out of this relationship with Jesus is at core transformational. Every space we occupy as Christians, we bring transformation to it. That's the message of the kingdom of God, that as the gospel is preached, the good news about Jesus, as we begin to live it and we engage with society, we are like light that goes out into the world. We're like yeast that's put in a batch of dough, as Jesus said at one place. We're like a little seed that grows to be a tree. Because the idea is, with you there, transformation's arrived, better ideas have come, more positive view, God's perspective has arrived, the kingdom of God's in the room. And it's going to be transformational. True Christianity is a force for positive life change and world change. That's what moves people to start things like Hope for Justice, you know, Christians Against Poverty, CAP, the organizations we work with, myriads of others that are out there. They get gripped with a sense of, wow, there's an answer to the mess of this world, and it is actually Jesus. Yeah. It's Jesus first. And when I take that personally, and then allow that to inform the way I relate, so it's personal and relational, it begins to become transformational at a whole new level. So, I put my final slide up, please. This is my conclusion. The truth about Christianity is, when we keep it these things, personal, relational, and transformational, with Jesus at the heart, it does do what it says on the tin. It does. It does do what it says on the tin. And if you come across anything that calls itself Christianity and doesn't have those three things at its heart, it won't work. It won't be helpful. It's actually less than what it's supposed to be. It won't do what it says on the tin. But if you want to experience the best of Christianity, and I know you do, that's why you're here, then get ever close to Jesus and have that resolve that scripture that's been on the screen all morning says, I resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ. You know, after Paul had written that, and where I read earlier in Philippians, he says, you know, I just want to know him. He wrote this a little bit further on in Philippians 3:12. He said, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. Now, I'd suggest to you, many of you in here are like this. You have made Jesus Lord of your life. He's the center. You're trying to grow personally with him, and you're trying to grow relationally, and you're experiencing a measure of transformation in your life. We're on a journey that what was broken is being fixed. But the honest truth is, I've not already got this. I've not got it all yet. I'm not at the goal yet. I'm not the fully fledged version of me yet. I've not arrived at my goal. But listen to this prayer. It says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. My prayer would be that is the heart of this church this morning. That we press on to take hold of the thing that Jesus has saved us for. He says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That heart, the attitude that says, I still don't get this, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to keep it personal, relation, transformational. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep Jesus at the heart, at the center. You'll do well. Every time people meet me and meet you, they're not just reading what's on the tin. The lid's off the tin. They're smelling the paint. They're actually trying it out. They want to see, is this the real deal? People are reading us. They're sampling us. So our responsibility is to say, right, Lord, I want people, when they hear that I'm a Christian, for them to see and taste something of the truth about Christianity. I want them to know it's personal, it's relational, it is transformational, if we'll keep it all about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.